everyone. Welcome to Struggle Session.
Welcome.
I am Leslie the Third.
And I'm Jack Allison.
Jack, it's been a while since we, got a chat for a bit. You know, I've lots of stuff going on in my personal life, your personal life, lots of big things popping, little things dropping.
Yeah.
Very happy to see you again, talk to you again.
You too.
How you been?
You know, I guess it's been since, just like it's been in everyone's lives. Like, it's been, post Kong versus Godzilla time. We're at the post Kong versus Godzilla portion of our year. I guess I'm fine. Leslie, I'll tell you what, I since the last we talked, I basically have just still been watching, Godzilla movies. I went through, and I guess at Rose's suggestion, I now, as of like just today, finished the entire Godzilla Showa era. I'm continuing my Godzilla scholarship, but how about you, Leslie?
What I've been watching, and I didn't expect to get so invested in it because I didn't like the source material that much. I kind of bounced off it. Invincible.
Oh, really?
The Amazon adult cartoon, Invincible. The first episode of the show I wasn't super into because, for people who don't know, Invincible is basically Robert Kirkman, who I still don't think is a very good writer, but he basically kind of copies some of the DC superheroes, adds in some little ultra violence to shock you. But it spends a lot of time in the first episode and the first trade paperback just explaining to you what like his ripped off version of the Justice League is, which is very unnecessary and not that interesting. But the show kind of gets away from that eventually. It still ends up being like a mystery box because the inciting incident is that their Superman kills all the rest of the Justice League. That's not much of a spoiler.
Right.
That's just a premise, and you're trying to find out why he does this immediately after his son discovers that he has powers, and they still haven't explained why 9 episodes in, but it's been pretty good. Like, I really enjoy it. The animation is decent, especially for now. One thing I didn't expect to like is the fact that the episodes are like 45 to 50 minutes long.
Oh, interesting.
And it actually does work pretty well for like an animated show based on a comic book where they have all these different plot threads, mm-hmm. all these different secret plans going.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, no, I haven't checked it out. I did read the Invincible comic, and I feel like Invincible always was the most defensible of all the Kirkman works. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Walking Dead, I have just kind of always, not liked that much, but Invincible does have some, I don't want to spoil anything because there are some like story elements of Invincible that it doesn't sound like are happening yet on the show that I don't want to get in there and spoil. I'll have to check it out if you like it.
Yeah, like I really wasn't expecting to get really into it, but now I'm like looking forward to it every week, surprisingly. It just ended up hooking me, and it just feels like a very good adult DC cartoon.
Interesting. Yeah, I kind of want to look at it now. I'm kind of just looking at like the art style of it, and I'm like, oh yeah, Invincible could kind of work for one of these things. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Again, like I said, as far as all of Kirkman's kind of just like ripoff averse or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that necessarily Kirkman has done anything that's like particularly interesting, but there's an ongoing fake version of the DC universe is like more interesting to me than just an ongoing zombie thing where nothing happens. I'll have to check that out. I know you were, waving me off this path, but I continued down it. As I continue to read some of the Halo extended universe.
Okay.
And they're fine. One thing I do like about the Halo extended universe is that it is like pretty consistent. It's like, it's the first extended universe I've read where you get the feeling like the mainline products are like eager to crib from the books because they don't have enough. It's kind of like, whereas most EU stuff, you kind of like get the main universe is like, kind of giving it a wide berth or, not interested at all. It is kind of hilarious how much the Halo games like want to pick up on stuff from the books because they have so little lore otherwise. But the thing that I have come to the unfortunate realization about, Leslie, and, the Halo extended universe as I've been getting through my scholarship and tutelage. It's an unfortunate one, which is that even though Halo came out in 2001, I think that it's pretty obvious in reading it that the Covenant are Islam. And that it is like a kind of Yes, it is like kind of a sci-fi Iran kind of fear of Islam. No. I swear to God, it is all there. All the enemies are like the prophets, the prophet of regret and everything like that. It's a like a coalition of, you know, different alien races that all follow this like religion. It's like a big sci-fi version of like America's fears about like an Islamic Republic. I came to the unfortunate realization reading it. I was like, damn, I've always liked the Halo universe because I thought it was different than Call of Duty. And it turned out it's all the same shit. I don't
know. That's so funny, Jack. That's so funny. And I do want to point out this directly parallels the scholarship I did on Cormac McCarthy years ago on this show, where I literally dove into his notes and discovered that in the road, all the cannibal pedophiles are stand-ins, of course, for, as I discovered, sadly, for Islam again, yes, as well. So like this, it was just in everything.
I think it was a little everywhere. I feel like it was a pre-9/11 because the game was all developed pre-9/11, but I definitely get some sort of like Islamic Republic vibes from it. Yeah. Like when you're like, because when I first played it, and I'm so stupid, I'm sure many people have realized this like so much longer than I have, ago than I have. But it did take me reading the books to be like, wait a second, this like volunteer force of religious zealots. By the way, who Leslie? We all remember one of the main like attack types from the Halo enemies is running up with suicide bombs like in your hand. The little grunts run up with like there are suicide bomber grunts in Halo. That's what made the whole thing like come into too clear perspective for me.
and that's years before Two Man Army, which had the same thing, which actually have like people running up to you screaming Islamic-y gibberish you while in suicide vest. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. But this is what you come to struggle session for, sadly enough.
It was unfortunate for me because I still love Halo, but it did dawn on me. I was like, damn, like this is about fucking Islam and Iran. Damn, Halo got me. Everything, even like when I think it's like sci-fi, you know, imperialism or something like that, it turns out to still be kind of rooted in that 90s, 2000s era fear.
I talked about this when we did our episode on The Little Things, but I've been getting into like the John Douglas, who's the FBI profiler who Jack Crawford is kind of based off of, and I've been listening to all his audiobooks. I've done like 5 or 6 now, Jack. I could literally catch a serial killer. I could literally do it at this point.
Maybe that's
I know
what this show should evolve into, is we should become one of those sort of true crime shows where we like just choose a murder to solve, you know?
Yes.
Like serial or whatever, we should just like find some small town murder that was never solved and be like, you know what? We are podcasters, so it's time for us to go ahead. And so let us roll up our sleeves and get in there and get this thing solved for you.
This may shock you, Jack, but believe it or not, the tactics that they actually have are very limited and mostly rely on them not lying to the public about danger and actually telling them, and then the public catches the person basically. So the scene in the movies where I think we got a serial killer on our hands, and the chief is like, what, you can't say that, you'll cause a panic. That's actually how cops act, and it's literally the exact opposite of what the FBI tells them to do. The FBI is like, no, tell the public that the guy is going to be like this, he's going to feel this way, he's going to show this behavior, he was around this area at this time. And that's basically the only advice that they give, like put out so much information that you scare the serial killer into like fucking up or contacting you
wanted
or like trying to
work. Wanted posters yeah, work. Like they, is what like, they're saying.
That's like that's it. That's all you have to do. But my God, but it's really interesting in the realm of propaganda because he's so bizarre because he presents this figure because he's like a real asshole, right? Like a right wing asshole. Very pro death penalty, very pro death penalty, very pro carceral punishment. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he talks a lot of shit about like regular cops and local yokels and talking about like how bad they are, and how they fuck up cases all the time. And like, so, and also like he gets called in to consult now. He left the FBI and is like a private consultant and he has like gotten people out of jail too.
Wow. So he really is someone within the system, you know, working to affect change. You know, this is what we're talking about here is we do need good apples within the system.
Yeah, like he's not a good cop, but he's not a cop anymore. And like he's the closest thing you can maybe get because like their only focus is on like actual crimes like murder right. and shit like that. And like so like he actually was able to like finesse himself away from being like a regular FBI agent where you're just like setting up people and shit like that or like
entrapping,
like
you know
yeah entrapping people. Like he was able to literally finesse himself out of that. Wow. Where he just sits in the office and like looks at files of crime photos and like, I bet this guy probably jerks off. And then he tells the local police to go to just talk to the public and actually tell them that they're in danger. And so, right. But yeah, that's what I've been into lately. It does kind of relate to the big news topic of the week, the Chauvin trial. Verdict.
Well, it is good that once again America has moved past racism. We're done. I'm just glad that all that, you know, stuff with police work and everything, that is over with. And, you know, case closed.
Well, some people do want to feel like pretty celebratory about it. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, chief among them. Jack.
Well, I mean, that's the funniest shit. She was doing like an Oscar speech. She was like, and thank you, obviously. We got to throw out a big thank you to George Floyd, you know, for, you know. Her shit was so funny because she was like, it was almost like she was talking about like a drafted soldier or something. She was like, thank you for your service. Thank you for like volunteering to be there. There was just so much that's fucked up about it. Like aside from thanking him, I also thought it was so fucked up to be like, you know, basically thank you for your service of being there. Because my thought with this when she said that was like, well, like aside from even saying like thank you to someone for dying, he also didn't like volunteer for that position. The thank you for your service of it all, it like really icked me out because I'm like, at least with service members, there's like some feeling that they volunteered for that duty.
Bizarre, bizarre. Because it made no sense that she was even speaking. Like, who wanted to hear from Nancy Pelosi like that day? Like, she did. First of all, she didn't do anything. It was a verdict.
Well,
like,
remember, she actually, they all went and took a knee. Remember they. And they wore, oh, like, yes. They wore
the
like, like scarves.
The kid day club. Oh, jeez. But there was absolutely no reason for her to speak. Incredibly embarrassing and disgusting show. But I think some people are falling back on this, and some people seem to be under the impression that like locking this one pig in a box is like the end right. of it. No, abolish means abolish. Like, you know.
This is like the right verdict for this particular case. You know what I mean? Like you actually wish you could get more than second degree murder. But like as far as the charges that were put up for this case for this like unedited 20 minute long video of someone being like brutally, you know, excruciatingly like murdered before your very eyes. Like, yes, so it is good that we were able to get the murder conviction for this case. Now we still need to get murder convictions for cops on cases that are not as completely like viscerally fucked up as this. You know what I mean? Like it can't just be that this case, because there was such good footage of it that, you know, this is, you know, why you'd get this result, you know. And already you see people, you know, there are people in Congress and everything saying like, oh, this has kind of relieved the pressure for us to like do anything big on police reform. And
it's yeah. There's been like two shootings like since then of like black teenagers.
This is the one that's involving, like, fucked up and disgusting. It's like the Mekhi Bryant one, which is like a teenager being shot like point blank with a gun. Now we're in the post Floyd time where liberals are starting to be like, okay, well now let's start to like litigate each one and say this one actually the officer like did seem, you know, justified or whatever. It's like, it's almost again, Leslie, it's like, you know, because the footage was so clear and so viscerally awful that like now it's making liberals be able to see footage of a teenager being shot point blank and start being
say,
like,
oh,
well,
that's
this
not so
isn't
bad.
Quite as bad as the last video of murder that I've acclimated myself to and watched so
much. Just briefly, let me just say, just in case anyone is confused on this point, a child wielding a kitchen knife is not the same as someone wielding a gun. Those are different things. That's not a guaranteed death sentence. Okay, you don't have to approach that same way. I've had to explain to several people that in other countries, every country has knives. Every country has knives, but every country has knife attacks. But cops deal with that in other countries without shooting people. In Japan, they have these big, huge sticks, these man catchers that you can they train teachers. High school teachers are trained to disarm people with knives.
Yeah.
But our cops who spend how many millions, billions of dollars on their trainings that teach them like how not to feel bad when they murder somebody, like don't know how to disarm a teenager with a knife. It's just,
or maybe just get themselves like grazed by a butter knife. You know what I mean? Like maybe the people that have been like paid to be there and have volunteered to be there and everything like that have like a slightly higher barrier to cross.
It's kind of like,
again,
I
don't
even
want to
fucking
have to watch this shit. Like, I don't want to watch, like, have to watch the liberals every week find like new ways to be depraved that I like.
And it's
tough because to watch them like under Biden suddenly become so okay with all the Trump stuff and for everybody to reveal themselves so much as conservatives or whatever. But again, you know, like the situation at the border and like people justifying his, you know, child internment camps and everything. This Mekhi Bryant video is another one where I'm like, wow, I don't even want to have to watch a video of a teenager being shot down by a fucking cop because liberals are being like, well, this one looks okay. I'm like, why the fuck, first of all, I don't want to be part of the discussion of whether or not like any shooting video looks okay. You know what I mean? Like if we're already at that point where we're being, it's dispiriting and disgusting, especially the same week as the Floyd verdict.
Yeah. Speaking of, I know there's something in the air where people are trying to convince us that Biden has done so much, to like win over the left. I don't know what that is. I don't know what he's done that's been so special. I like all I see is a real continuity with Trump when you look at the border crisis, is the exact same thing as Trump. And with the he's doing some things like what's going on where they're withholding the vaccine patent from India. Yeah. That's like genocidal. That's like that's literally like genocidal.
Yeah. Here's the big difference is like under Trump, you know, they wanted to point out how many children they were separating from their families. Like they were like excited by the cruelty and wanted to like, you know, they wanted to highlight, look how many children we've like removed from their parents. Under Biden, they're like changing the terminology and they're like, oh, now we have an unaccompanied migrant, you know, child crisis or whatever. You know what I mean? They actually want to hide how many children are being separated from, you know, their guardians, because that's the real reality of it here, is that, you know, under Trump, they separated people as much as possible. But under Biden, children are still arriving with guardians and, like, with people that, like, you know, walk them across the border and everything like that. They're just not necessarily, like, their parents. And so they're, like, when they keep telling us, I keep seeing under Biden, and they're like, you know, so many unaccompanied, like, migrant children have arrived. Like, there are children as young as 3 years old. And I'm like, wait a second. So you're telling me, like, a 3 year old child, like, walked across the border by himself? I'm like, no. What happened is you found a group of people and you separated all the children from the adults in the group or whatever. And so, yes. And while you're, like, very specifically keeping families together to deport, you know what I mean? Like, if a family comes in, you deport them all together. If adults arrive with children and then you can't immediately confirm that they're the actual parents, then they, of course, get separated. But we're not continuing the aggressive policy of child separation.
It's a
We're just separating every child. Yes. Unfortunately, and we hate to do it, but we are separating every child that comes to the border.
Anything good going on in the world? I guess, I mean, the movies are back. People are excited about Mortal Kombat.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm going to see Mortal Kombat tomorrow. I am going to the movies. I'll tell you that much. Like, as far as, is there anything good back? I'm like, well, I now like to go to a movie theater and buy a bag of popcorn and eat it while sitting, you know, and some kind of proximity to other people. I don't know, Leslie. I'm like, you know, what's good in the news right now? I don't know. Like, I mean, I can't, like, when I look at the news and I just see news about, like, oh, Biden's first 100 days, well, they went easier than Biden could have even accepted. Now comes the real challenge, like, another 100 days. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, Biden was able to get us, like, less stimulus than we were talking about under Trump. You know, they keep kind of, like, they keep putting out this idea that he has, like, cut child poverty in a third or something like that, which I'm almost like, I hope Joe Biden doesn't believe what you are saying about him. Like, if, like, he might, like, stop trying to, like, you know, even take meetings about getting people out of poverty if he truly believes, like, the Washington Post, you know, headline that one third of children have already been lifted from poverty.
Hey, Jack, you read that in the Washington Post? I lifted a million black people out of poverty.
You see, that's what you're doing is a PolitiFact. PolitiFact rated that false. I've already raised, you know, one third of impoverished children out of poverty. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I think that we need to take our moments here, and it does feel like we're allowed to go outside for, you know, maybe 45 days here or something like that before we get, like, unexpectedly locked down again. But if you're asking for good news, I'm like, I think the good news is, you know, we're allowed to go outside for the next couple months.
Until we're not.
Until the new, well, I mean, again, yeah, exactly. Like, until the news tells us again, whoop, there's a new one. Like, you know, that India mega variant, because we wouldn't, like, because we're not willing to give our, like, even the Johnson & Johnson one that's not even that good. We're not even willing to give them that one. Like, yes, I do feel like we'll be made to go back inside again. But until then, let's go see some damn movies.
Yeah, one news story that we didn't get to talk about a couple of weeks ago that I did want to jump back to, Hunter Biden. Because he's doing the book tour, Beautiful Things. This heartwarming journey where he talks about his struggles with addiction and, you know, just how, you know, helpful his father was to him. Of course, his father, architect of the modern carceral state, mass incarceration, for drugs crimes, for sending people to prison for using drugs, the same drugs that Hunter Biden used and abused.
And got so much wonderful support, you know, got text messages occasionally from his father while he was vice president. Yeah, I mean, that shit is, like, actually, you know, pretty infuriating, especially since, you know, even still, Biden is not... Biden won't commit to even the most basic idea of marijuana being federally legal. They said during the fucking campaign that they would hire people at the White House, like, you know, if they admitted that they've done marijuana, and then they just ended up, like, shipping all those people. That was one of the most, like, kind of funny, you reap what you sow kind of moments, I thought, for Biden freaks. One of the only
good actions of Biden
comeuppances so far. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Actually, that was, like, my favorite Biden move, was saying, like, you know, a bunch of you Biden freaks, you're not getting jobs.
Yeah, no jazz cigarettes in my White House. There you are. But there was something else about the Biden story that just kind of struck me, because I'm not a fan of Hunter. I've never been a fan of the Hunter meme because of the reason I said both his kids were fucking drug users. Ashley, too. Ashley busted while she was in college smoking weed. Went to the same raves that were run by the guy, by Disco Donnie, who Joe Biden basically tried to put in jail for throwing raves. That his daughter went to, like,
so he
baffling.
Beat Disco Donnie and he beat Donald Trump. You know,
he did. Actually, Disco Donnie won. Disco Donnie won.
Oh, good. Thank
Disco
God.
Disco Donnie fucking won. Hell,
at least one Donnie. Yeah. At least one Don was able to beat Biden.
Yeah, well, what the fuck was I saying? So Hunter Biden. So I'm not a fan of the Hunter kids. I never found the memes cute. I didn't like it. I'm not saying anybody found, you know, got into the Hunter thing, it was bad. It just never resonated for me.
For sure.
But the thing, I never looked into his story. I never listened to anything he said or what was going on with him. I never looked into it. And then I started looking into it after doing, you know, my mind hunting training. And this shit does not add up. All right. So, Jack.
Okay.
So here is the Hunter Biden story.
You're doing a mind hunter?
I'm doing a mind hunter.
You're mind hunting Hunter Biden?
So this is the story we are supposed to believe. Hunter Biden, this man who is, you know, while at the same time he's having, you know, this fake career in, like, the Ukraine, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's like in business working with China as well too. He's an investor and a lobbyist, right? Burisma mm-hmm. Holdings. He's doing all this at the same time, you know, he's married to a, you know, from what I can tell, is a woman who is upper class, who it would expect certain behavior from her husband and would question certain strange behavior from him, I think. At the same time, at one point after his brother dies, he's with this one upper class woman. He also is in a relationship with his brother's widow. He's having an affair, a serious affair, with his brother's widow. At the same time, he has this international career and a wife and a mistress. Okay.
And doesn't he relapse around that time,
well,
too?
Well, here, that's the thing. Jack, he has a career. He has a wife. He has a mistress. Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. He has a career. He has a wife. He has an addiction he's hiding. Mm-hmm. I get that. He has a career. He has an upper class wife. He has an upper class mistress and a drug addiction. And Jack, he's impregnates as part of his drug life. He impregnates an exotic dancer, I believe, in Alabama, Arkansas, one of those, like Tennessee.
Too busy. Too busy.
There's too much there. Jack,
here's what I suspect.
It adds up to too much. Much here.
I have to put forward a pretty shocking theory. And I think that people haven't really explored this idea, and the implications would be harrowing. I'm going to put forward the theory that there are two hunters. Did we not...
Jack, I haven't even gotten to the other part. at the same time around this, really? He's reforming himself. He's also reforming himself trying to join the Navy and getting kicked out for doing coke. How the fuck do you have time to do all that while your father is vice president? I don't know.
I'm going to throw out,
are there two hunters? Possibly.
I think there might be three hunters.
A secret sin? A secret twin situation? Did they build a spare? I don't know. I don't know, Jack.
There could be the Hunter twins that we don't know about, actually. Is the Hunter twins, if it turned... You know those like weird, those like twins in Spring Break? You know, like the two?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it turned out that like Hunter was like, there's a pair of Hunters, like the Spring Break teens.
Or the Matrix twins, the Matrix, Matrix Revolution twins.
The Hunter twins.
he's got like a place that just makes a bunch of them and they keep running out of Hunters. Like the Venture kids.
Yeah, I think we have to explore the idea. And I hate to even put this out there, but that there could be two hunters. There could be, you know, two hunters out there. One could have been dropping off the laptop, you know, with Rudy Giuliani, while the other one was, you know, working at Burisma.
Now, our chat room has a very interesting, has some very interesting theories. One is that the other brother never died, and we're dealing with a face-off situation where he is the good hunter as a replacement for the bad hunter. Actually, Bret Easton Ellis actually has a story very similar to that, and we know that he's predicted the future several times.
That'd be a great cover story for, you know, a Chris Kyle-esque, you know, undercover, you know, Marine operative or something like that. You know what I mean? If it was like The one son has passed, but really he's just disguising himself, you know. Like I read a Sherlock Holmes where, you know, Watson was in an opium den and there was someone that just looked like a drugged out opium guy, and then he turned around and it was Holmes surprising Watson. Ah. He was in there in disguise. I feel like, you know, that could be like Bo, like pretending to be on like a binge or something like that. And then until he's like called, you know, to be part of SEAL Team 6, go off.
And that would also explain the wife thing. That would also explain the wife thing.
I know. It's like it was not an affair. It was actually like, it was actually, you know, a son dutifully looking after his widow.
Yes, yes.
People just caught him with the hunter makeup on.
$2 million for that book. Like, yeah, it's the same thing the Trump's kids did. In fact, the Trump kids are a little bit more respectable because they at least took jobs. Like, they at least took
through all this. I actually just feel bad for Mina Harris, who was hustling to set up an entire clothing brand, you know, trading on her, you know, cousin's image or whatever, as the vice president or her stepmother. I feel bad for Mina, that Mina had like created this entire business set to profit so handily, and that she was the only one at the Biden White House who got a little like talking to about profiting off of the office. You know, Ella Emhoff, who's a model now off. I just feel like, you know, I feel bad for, I actually do feel bad for Mina Harris. And I'm like, well, what about all the white fail kids? You know what I mean? Like Ella Emhoff gets to be a model and Hunter gets to go on Jimmy Kimmel and sell his book and shit like that. Like, why is it that suddenly Mina's in trouble for trying to sell a shirt that says phenomenal woman with like, you know, with Maya Angelou quotes on it that she's not paying any royalties for.
That's so funny. She's the only one that got in trouble. All the others are like, fuck it.
I think Mina's terrible, but I'm almost like, you know, she should be allowed if Ella Emhoff is allowed.
I know.
It's like all just the white kids. All the white kids are allowed. And then this one ambitious woman of color. All she wants to do, create, you know, Bridgerton tees, Bridgerton collaboration tees that trade on the vice president's name and image, and she gets shut down.
Yeah. You hate to see it.
Not fair.
We're pretty deep into 2020 now, but our favorite season of the year is coming up. Meltdown May, just a week away.
Wow, actually. That is, you know, this one really crept up on me because it did feel like, you know, last year has never ended, but, you know, we're up for a big one this year.
It's like a rollover. It's like a rollover Meltdown May. Internet worse than ever. I think I'm just excited for the games. I'm like, I'm excited to see what people will come up with. Like, people I actually think they're maybe burning themselves out because they're already going off. There's a new main character literally every day.
I mean, I am not on Twitter anymore, and so it's just as much for me to catch up here, you know. I'll be interested this Meltdown May, Leslie, although to be honest with you, it's like I'm kind of out of it, but then of course I do follow every little weird, you know, whatever stupid shit is going on with all the debate streamers and everything like that.
One today had a meltdown. I don't want to say her name because they really suck. But they got canceled because of like all their somebody just searched their name on Discord posted.
That one really sucks.
Well, the funny thing is, like, nothing I saw from the screenshot seemed anything different than what he posted. They posted publicly, so I understand what the point was. Why are you even like deleting your account? Tried to like they were like going back into their like their GitHub and removing
GitHub and removing
stuff.
I just have to laugh at anyone who thinks that anything good is coming from any of this. You know what I mean? Like, even when I see like the like Destiny like looked bad, I'm like, no, like thought debate looks bad. When people talk about like online debate and who looks good or who looks bad, debate itself is what looks bad.
I feel like people don't know what an actual debate looks like, which is strange because if you actually look up on YouTube debates, they have real ones on there. There are like tons of real ones you can find if you like, but I don't understand who has memorized the most Wikipedia page form of debate.
Honestly, the person that we're talking about who was editing their Wikipedia page, first of all, I was just like, wow, canceling is gotten more complex than ever. You have to go through like a GitHub and track all your changes to like remove, you know what I mean? Remove all your old tweets. But then even then I was like looking through the GitHub and I was like, dude, like, aren't you trying to be like a streamer? Like, streaming is supposed to be like less work than like actual work. And I'm looking at this guy's page and it's like 45 pages of like little, like, you know, granular, you know, how to respond to every single debate point or whatever. And I'm just like, this, you're not getting paid for this. This is too dorky.
You do this for free?
For freelance. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Really? That's my takeaway from all YouTube debate cultures. I'm like, you do this for free?
Too much fucking work. Too much.
Yeah, Jesus.
Who needs that shit? You know, but Jack, I'm a little bit excited tonight because there's a UFC fight tonight.
Oh, wow.
Big main event with some big racism behind it. You might have heard of this.
Oh, wow.
But Wei Li Zhang, who is a Chinese fighter champion, she's facing a woman named I forget how to pronounce her name. Her nickname is Thug Rose. Her nickname is Thug Rose. I forget her name. Rose Namajunas. And she, for some reason, and this isn't the first time it's happened, is like it being as a part of the promotion of the fight being extremely racist to Wei Li, because she's Chinese, and she said, "Better dead. I'm doing this because is better dead than red," or some shit like that.
Oh.
Like, which is, you know, great look now, especially with the rise of violence against Asian Americans.
Well, this is like the very this is like the difficult thing, because there is a real rise of hate crimes against Asian Americans, and that is something that we need to be concerned about. Meanwhile, I think one of the biggest Overton window shifts since Trump, you know, came on the scene in 2015 was how much more sort of openly aggressive we are about you know, competing with China. So it's like the Biden administration will be like, okay, we need to hold a Rose Garden ceremony to say like, okay, it's time to stop Asian American hate crimes. But then they kind of will just go out and be like, China's eating our lunch. Like, they're just like, it's very it's very Trumpish the way that we talk about China since Trump, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to get worse because, like, the Biden administration is all in with aggression towards China. And for some reason, like, I keep seeing people, even people who think they're, like, on the left, like, we need to, you know, talk seriously about the problem of the China. Like, no, we don't. People need to talk seriously about the problem of America, if anything. Like,
yeah,
where
yeah,
do you
we
get
don't
off?
Necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that we need to, like, determine this issue. And listen, I don't know, whatever. It's like, yes, I agree. We don't need to, like,
we don't
say. Need to work out what this issue is. Like, we actually live in America or whatever. Now, I don't want to get into the weeds here. Do I think that maybe the two most powerful countries in the world are both up to some fucked up shit? Yes, I think it's like well within reason that the most powerful countries on planet Earth are like both up to some shit. But also, we just like happen to live in America right now, and there's so much like horrors, untold horror going on in America right now. You don't need to fall for like the beating of the drums with war with China, you know, just because it's another world power, you know, that we have to be aggressive to.
All right. And before we close out, I would be remiss, Jack, if I didn't mention we are recording this Saturday night live stream on Saturday night.
Saturday night live stream.
And Saturday Night Live just made an announcement that's got a lot of people talking and buzzing that Elon Musk, son of slave owners, is going to be hosting one of their shows, episode of their little show on Saturday night. Mm. You know, I guess we'll be hopefully we can counter program it so you don't have to watch it if you think you need to. But
although, Leslie, we should probably just watch it. We should just probably watch it live to see what happens.
Oh, we could do that. We could do that. We could.
I think it'll be embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
At the very least. You know what I mean? Like, we know that any episode will be embarrassing, you know, kind of no matter what.
Absolutely all of them.
but, you know, to watch I don't know. It's like Disney Channel for, like, MSNBC viewers. Like, I don't know. Like, watching someone who has changed his title to Techno King of Tesla come on and do like a I actually can't even wait to see how fucked up this episode is. Truly,
because it's not like he's funny or charismatic or engaging in any way. He's like a man who looks like he has like very like thin, like moist skin that he's not fun to look at.
A mumbler. He's like a mumbler.
Yeah,
that's
a mumbler.
Thing about Elon that is like, you know, again, we're just like in the thrall of only fail children. We're in fail children world or whatever, is that Elon's not even a good pitch man. Like Elon, you know, he's not even like a Don Draper type. Like he gets up there, like money gets thrown at him because he's just like, yeah, we're going to we're going to have completely autonomous cars. And then people just like, you know, boost the valuation to like 40 times higher.
Oh, didn't they have another Thomas Carr murder like last week? Double murder, I think.
Oh, yeah. There was a double murder with their self-driving cars. And the entire thing, you know, this is the host of SNL coming up. We should just be clear here. They've just lied about self-driving cars. Like they, you know, Elon has been since 2015 saying they're going to have like fully autonomous self-driving cars. And they actually even like sold the cars with a fake app screenshot showing how many taxis you'd get for like leaving your car unattended. Like you could leave your, like they showed a fake app showing if you basically just like put out your car as a taxi fleet unmanned to drive people around an Uber or whatever. Like they put out a screenshot saying that you could make $30,000 a year just like putting your car out as an unmanned taxi service or whatever. And they are now actually like launching this unmanned driving, you know, feature. It's in beta now. And it just does not work. There are tons of videos. And these are like, you know, Tesla early adopters who were given like beta access to the self-driving car.
Wait a minute, Jack, that doesn't make any sense. If that business plan worked, wouldn't Tesla make the unmanned cars and put them on the street and then you pay Tesla?
Well, that was the other thing.
Why would you have the owner of the car as the middleman? That makes no sense if it actually worked.
Also, the other element of it is that, like, so Tesla is just out there saying that they actually have, like, full self-driving, like, figured out as of this year. It's just in beta, but they have it all figured out or whatever. At a certain point, isn't that like what Uber has all this money and has been invested at like billions and billions of dollars because they're supposed to be figuring out self-driving cars and they haven't been able to figure it out? At a certain point, like, don't the Tesla like people have to come out to like at least calm their shareholders to be like, what Tesla is doing is lies. You know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, Uber is going to have to come out just out of like self-preservation to be like, okay, we hear what you're saying about why don't we just do with what Elon is doing. And it's because what Elon is doing is a lie. He's lying about, but yeah, there are
like Google too, right? Like, there's a reason we do all those fucking captchas because we're supposed to be making self-driving cars. I'm still doing fucking captchas, Jack. I don't know about you.
There is no self-driving cars. Like, I swear to God, the self-driving cars does not exist. It's not going to happen. Like, all AI, as we figured out, the way AI works best is when you have had and paid a person to make the decision, and then the AI can just like repeat that decision over and over again. Like, if you pay people, you know, a Mechanical Turk fee of 10 cents, or like you were saying, like picking, you know, which sign is the right one for the CAPTCHA or whatever, that's the only way AI works, is if, you know, you ask a computer which one of these is a sign, and then it sends that question to an actual human being clicking one or the other one, and then it comes back to you. So it's like, that's the only way AI is good, is by looking back on a situation where the human did make a decision and then saying, I can make the same decision.
Wait a minute, Jack. I got it. This is what the self-driving is going to be, right? It's going to be car drone pilots who remotely operate your vehicle for you for a small subscription fee. And that's how you're going to get it.
Because these Teslas, you know, they have, you know, it's like you can put it on self-driving, but you have to sit there and like, you know, hit the wheel in case anything goes wrong or whatever. So I think your idea is great. If we just have unmanned drones sitting in the driver's seat of each Tesla, keeping an eye on the auto driving, and if it had a little arm that could come out and like move the wheel if the auto driver was going to go bad, then yeah, we could have a fleet of people in their homes, you know, running the drones that run the autopilot of the Tesla.
Yeah. All right. I'm sure you probably wouldn't have any problem with like lag or disconnects or anything like that.
I mean, I know that I certainly can't play even Stadia. You know, basically that would be like, what if that would just be like them putting out Stadia for Uber and like with the input delay. You know, if you're just that like a 1 second input delay, it can really be a problem for driving a car.
Yeah. Well, folks, that was Struggle Session. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good one.
Have a good one. See you later.